So if things cost more, we can't afford as much of it, right?
We have to save.
We have to save. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Building Wealth the Wheeler Way. As you can see, I can build daughters. I got two of them instead of one. Can y'all say hello?
Hi.
Tell everybody your name.
I'm Elin.
I'm Remy.
Oh, there you go. How old are you guys?
7 years
old. So today's podcast, we're going to talk about the old friend inflation, how one thing becomes two over time. So what do you guys know about inflation?
We haven't learned about that yet.
So when we were born, Elin was born fourth from 2 minutes. After 2 minutes, I was born.
Yep, that's a very good way to think about inflation. It compounded, right? First we had one, then it turned into two. What do you guys think about toys if they get more expensive? Is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Bad.
Why is that bad?
Because then we will run out of money.
We'll run out of money, right? Mm-hmm. And we can't buy as many toys, huh?
And we can't buy food.
Oh, and food. Oh, that's right, right?
Mm-hmm. And drinks.
And drinks. Those are important to have, right? Mm-hmm. So if things cost more, we can't afford as much of it, right?
We have to save.
Yes, we have to save. How do we save?
If we need or want something, but we don't have enough money, we don't use it yet and keep on making more.
That's right. Where do we put it? Where do you guys put it?
In our piggy bank.
In your piggy bank. What are you guys saving up for?
College.
You're saving up for college?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
What
are you saving up for?
To get me a job.
You're going to save to get a job?
I got two things, college and job.
College and job. Where do y'all want to go? I thought y'all were saving for a trip. Where do y'all want to go?
I want to go to Disney.
Disneyland? Disney World?
Yes, it's so much fun.
It's so much fun.
It's an aerial ride.
Yay, so much fun paying Mickey all that money, isn't it? I thought you were saving for a horse.
Oh, I am too.
Okay.
I'm saving for a pony that you can share.
And if the pony is a boy, I'm going to name him Bob.
Bob the Pony. So welcome back again to Wheeler, Building Wealth the Wheeler Way. We're going to learn how to save for Bob the Pony and Disney World. And we're going to talk about our friend inflation and how we can get around it. So let's jump into it. All right. So when we talk about inflation, let's define it again. I mean, I've talked about it before. But again, as you heard, it's kind of a simple explanation. What it costs to buy something today? So let's take Bob the Pony. What it costs to buy Bob the Pony today is going to be more expensive. Bob the Pony 5 years from now is going to cost more than Bob the Pony today. Or going to Disney World. I remember when we went to Disney World, I guess about 40 years ago. I'd have to ask my parents, but I'm sure it cost probably $400 or $500. And we drove down from Mississippi, and that was a lot of money back then, right? In like 1980, right? And in my family, we just went to Disney World last summer. And I think, and again, I'm a big proponent of using rewards points as a talk. Even with using rewards points for the flight and the hotel, I think we still spent something like $3,000. I remember pricing it out with the travel agent who's going to give us a hookup, right? It came out to be something like $8,500 to fly down there, to stay on the property, all in. So imagine that. My parents 40 years ago paid for Disney World. It was around probably $500 to $1,000 to now today. It's $8,000 for four people to go. So that's what inflation is. All right. Now you're like, okay, Wheeler, why are we droning on and on about that? Why do I care? I tell you why you need to care is because when you're looking at retirement, as I spoke to before about the wealth Wheeler formula, the Wheeler's wealth formula, is that that's a big factor that you gotta calculate for. You gotta account for inflation, or you're gonna come up short, and you're gonna wind up having to work longer, right, than you want to. So again, I'll give you another an example, right? As far as maybe put this home. So let's say, you know, people buy a home, right? And then what's the next thing some of your friends want to do? They want to put a pool in the yard. This is my favorite, right? Buying a pool. And you ask your friend, hey, how much does that pool cost? Yeah, the pool's like 88 grand, right? Or maybe even $100,000. Let's say you get the hot tub, jacuzzi, heated overnight, and the electrical retract thing, the LED lights, the outside kitchen, the whole nine yards, right? And it's not crazy to think here in Dallas that you're paying $100,000 for that, okay? But is that really what it's costing you? Is that pool really cost you $100,000, right? Not if we factor in inflation. We factor in inflation and we go 30 years out, right? That pool is now that $100,000 turned into $250,000, right? So that hole in the ground that you had to have, right, that you're only going to swim in maybe 2 months a year, 3 months a year, and then maybe not ever again after a while, that really cost you $250,000. So those are things you got to think about when in terms of inflation. When you go to buy something, what is it really costing you down the road, right? So what is that pool really worth $250,000 to me now, right? So if I told you today, hey, you want this pool for $100,000, you might be like, you know, somebody might, yeah, I can do that. And you know what, I'll even finance that, which is even better, right? I'll finance that. So I'm just paying $300 or $400 a month, right? Well, now on top of inflation and what you're paying in interest rate, now that pool is like $300,000, $400,000, right? So you have to ask yourself, is a hole in the ground worth $400,000? And that's just one example. It's a pool. It could be anything. It could be a car, right? And this is the thing, right? Dallas is the home of what? The $30,000 millionaire, right? We love that guy, right? Driving, what is that? That's the person driving around in a leased Mercedes for $1,500 a month, maybe living in a $800,000 home with eight roommates, maybe taking Instagram pictures when they walk in front of a private jet, that type of thing, right? So that's one mentality you kind of have to fight, especially in your younger years, in terms of how things cost. And guess what happens with inflation, right? So even if you do make your retirement, guess what the best thing about inflation is? Yeah, it doesn't stop. It doesn't quit. It keeps going. So again, another reason people are unprepared for retirement is they forget that, you know, you don't just run across the finish line of retirement and you're done, and flowers and rainbows and confetti come down, and then now you can sit back and relax. No, actually now the work is kind of beginning. You kind of have to flip your mentality. You were used to making that money, and now you've got to flip over to spending it reasonably, right? Because you're only going to have so much coming in. And inflation is a big problem that eats at that, and especially if you're trying to, keep up with the Joneses. So you kind of have to be realistic about it. Otherwise, inflation is really going to come up to haunt you, especially in times like today. And again, I think today the inflation rate is something like 8.5%. I don't have a crystal ball. I'm not giving predictions, but you know, if you go over time, inflation is usually about 3% over the last 40 years. It kind of averages out. So I highly doubt that we're going to be living in high times of inflation for the next 30 years. It could be for the next year. It could be for the next two. For those of you who remember the late 70s, that kind of lasted for 2 or 3 years. It could be that. But in reality is, or statistically speaking, you know, in the next 5 years, we'll probably normalize back out. So I wouldn't do major lifestyle changes based on just today alone. But if it hasn't done anything else for you, I would make it be a wake-up call to you if you weren't doing it before, of not maxing out your living expenses, thinking, you know, not leaving yourself any room for error. And it's not just you. It's forces that are beyond you. You don't control inflation. You don't. But you have to pay for it. So the best thing you can do is, you know, make sure that you understand the true cost of things when you do it. And for those of you who followed me before, I like to use the coffee cup example, right? A cup of coffee at $5, right? It's not really $5. If you price it out over, you know, 30 years, it's more like $13, right? So then that changes your mindset. Do I really want that cup of coffee for $13? If the answer is yes, go ahead, go up and down, get two of them if you want. But it may be something where you're like, you know what? I don't know that I like this coffee for $13. I liked it for $5, but not $13. So that's something to think about. That's one thing to help you kind of combat inflation. And again, I think everybody's feeling that pain. for those, another probably trick is for those of you who are married out there, one very good mantra to live by that a lot of people have kind of gotten away from is just live off of one salary, one of your salaries. Not fun, I know, but it's a whole, those people who have done that are having a great time now, I tell you that, because they're able to still travel back and forth to work from where they were commuting from. Gas being more expensive doesn't mean they have to move. Property taxes going up doesn't mean they have to move. Food going up doesn't mean they have to move. You saw my kids earlier. That's what we do. We live off of one salary. And because of inflation, I can still what? I can still take them to go swimming. I can still take them to daycare when they need to go. They still go to after-school activities. Their lifestyle didn't change a whole lot, right? We didn't have to sell the cars and get mopeds. We didn't have to sell our house and go get a trailer out in Crump, Texas. Nothing wrong with Crump, just saying. It's pretty far away from Dallas to Fort Worth. So if you live off of one salary, great. For those of you who are single, you know, think of yourself as a couple if that helps and say, hey, I'm only going to live off about 75%. The other 25% I'm going to put away, either in a savings account, an investment account, or whatever. And I'm talking about on top of a 401k or an IRA if you have those things. Those are retirement accounts. I'm talking about on top of that because that money you put away and you can't touch. Stuff that you would put in a savings account or in just a normal brokerage account, you have access to in times like this when inflation is really, really high. So if you're prepared for it, it's kind of like being a Boy Scout, be prepared, right? Or a Girl Scout, be prepared. If you prepared ahead of time, then you're probably not having as hard of a time today as inflation rates as maybe your friends are. But if you were living on that edge, that financial edge, then you're really just going to have to relook your lifestyle, right? And you're probably gonna have to make some changes because it's just math, right? And things are gonna continue to get more expensive. They're never gonna go down. It's kind of like taxes. Taxes usually probably never decrease. Inflation, unfortunately, is just always gonna be there. If for you macroeconomic guys out there, you can talk about deflation. And if you really want to blow your mind, deflation is even worse, right? There's stuff going down. But we, you know, look at countries like Greece, Italy. And we're not even getting into that. So just kind of understand, all you need to understand about inflation is that it's a way of life and it's best to save for it and have like a cushion set aside for these times. And realize it's a bump in the road. You know, that bump may be 6 months to a year long, maybe even two. But if you're prepared for that, you'll be okay. Now let's jump into retirement. And again, you've heard me speak about this before. Most people, though, are unprepared for retirement. That may shock you. Maybe it doesn't. You know, you may be sitting home beating yourself up. Oh, I haven't saved enough for retirement. I don't know where I know I'm supposed to. I just haven't done it yet. I need to be better about it. You know, I would say stop all that negative talk, right? For you guys, for you Tony Robbins people out there, there is something to that. Don't beat yourself up, right? Hardly anybody is prepared for retirement in America. I forget what the number is. I think they say 41% out there. There's some study that says 41% of Americans out there have no clue how they're going to retire, right? Think about, okay, what does 41% mean? That means 4 out of every 10 people. You walk into a room with your friends, and there's 10 friends sitting there. Chances are 4 of them have no idea how they're going to retire. Haven't even thought about it, right? That's a pretty big number. I would say a couple reasons, right? One reason is people just don't understand how to save. Right, they have no idea. You've heard me say something about, they've heard a snippet about put 15% of your salary away. Well, that may or may not be the right number for them. Right, could be more, could be less, but they don't know. Right, they don't know about what type of account to save for. They don't know what a 401k is, or maybe they got a snippet at work. You know, may at work you got handed a bunch of papers, you filled them out when you hired on, and you didn't think about it, right? You didn't know you had a 401k plan. You didn't know that the company matched, you know, dollar for dollar up to 6% if that's your company, right? You had no idea. No one told you. You didn't know there were things like Roth IRAs or traditional IRAs that your money grows tax-free. You didn't know things about like annuities or life insurance plans. You just don't know how to save. And so that's one reason I think people are not prepared for retirement. They just have no idea, no clue. And again, that's kind of where I have this podcast out there to try to help educate people and not bore. Hopefully you guys aren't asleep yet. Hopefully you kind of follow along. Another reason is people don't understand investments. And usually that's where they start, right? Like, well, I don't know what a stock is. I don't know what a bond is. And then just go on to the next thing. And I always tell people, don't worry about that. There's people out there to help you with that. People like me, people at your bank. There's plenty of resources for that. You don't have to fully understand it to the nth degree. You don't have to do it yourself. The first thing you need to do is figure out, again, what you need to have saved. And that Wheeler Wealth Formula, figure out the amount of money you need to have saved. And if that money, if that amount is $1 million, $2 million, $5 million, whatever, know that number first. Then we can go back and figure out what type of account fits that, right? What type of the best account? And then three steps, right? The third step, then we talk about what type of investments. Is it stocks? Is it mutual funds? Is it ETFs? Is it an annuity? Whatever it is. But the type of investment is further down. But most people get bogged down right off the bat and like, well, I don't understand investments. And then their brain just shuts off and then just go back to work or just like, you know, I just want to ignore it. Or hope that some by miracle osmosis will come in and they'll figure it out, right? Or maybe they try and go do some Google research and they get bombarded with a ton of stuff. And again, there's no referee of investments out there to tell you what's straight or not. So they give up. So please don't do that. Have a financial professional help you with that part. Don't be ashamed and don't be embarrassed. I would probably say out of 10 client or 10 prospects or people thinking about doing work business with me, I would say 9 out of the 10 always say, well, I'm embarrassed. They start off, I'm embarrassed. I don't know what question to ask. I'm embarrassed. I don't know about investments. I'm embarrassed, Wheeler, but, right? I call it don't finance shame yourself, right? There's things called body shame now, right? We kind of all understand that. We don't body shame. We don't allow someone to body shame. So I say the same with finance. Don't finance shame yourself. It's okay if you don't know, right? Find someone you trust and they'll kind of walk you along. Use things like this podcast to kind of make sure, you know, to verify that you're doing the right things, and then go find someone you trust to help you through that. But don't let ignorance, fear, embarrassment, don't let that creep in. That's, you know, I'd say it, that's the devil talking to you. You got to say, get behind me, devil, and don't be embarrassed, right? And go get help. There's other things that happen too, right? Another reason people are unprepared, they have a false sense of time, right? They put it off till tomorrow. We've all done that, right? The grass needs mowing. I'll do it tomorrow. Then tomorrow happens, you don't. I'll do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow, and then tomorrow. Next thing you know, your grass is way over the hedge. And then if you're living in an HOA, they're giving you a fine, right? So it's the same with, you know, retirement. Don't put it off, right? What you're doing is you're robbing from your older self. And your older self is coming. He or she is not stopping. They're going to be here. They're going to show up at your door, and they're going to want their money, and you're not going to have it because you didn't give them any time. So please don't have that false sense of time. 40 years, 30 years, 20 years is not a long time, right? Especially for you younger people. I remember when I was in the Army at Fort Benning at 22. I thought the colonels at 38 were old dudes, right? I thought, oh, they're near death's door, let alone in general at the age of 50, right? That's not old, right? And that's not a long time, right? So retirement gets here sooner than you think. Just allow for it. And then a couple other reasons is life happens. Life happens. Things like divorce. Divorce is a big deal. And the divorce rate is something like 68%. So again, don't shame yourself because you got divorced. More than likely, it's more common than not. Most people, again, if you walk into a room, 2 out of 3 people have probably been divorced. So don't let that embarrass you or shame you, especially if your spouse did the finances. So what? So now you can go get help and do the finances. Don't let that stop you. Things like kids. You saw my kids, right? I didn't plan on 2. I got 2. Now I got to pay for 2. I got to allow for that. People change jobs 4 or 5 times. They forget their old 401ks, right? They just leave it and forget it, and they think it's not... They think it's okay. Well, there's nothing wrong with it. I just, you know, I think it's fine where it is. That's a big mistake. No one's watching that money for you. No one's managing it for you. And you're still being charged fees for it. You're better off taking that and rolling it over into an IRA, either at your bank or a financial institution of your choice, and have somebody actively manage that for you and factor it in your entire plan. Because if you're not careful, you'll forget about it and... You know, maybe it's not earning that much. Maybe it's only set to earn 1 or 2 points, and the fees are 1 or 2 points. So you basically just got money sitting there, earning nothing, and guess what's happening? Inflation, right, is going up. Your money's staying the same, so you're in essence losing money, right? So that's another thing that people become unprepared for because they forgot about their old 401ks. So, you know, you got to be prepared for the extra things that life throws at you. You got to take some ownership and responsibility, and don't put your head in the sand and just pretend like it's not there or think it's going to take care of itself, because it won't. It just absolutely will not do that. And be ready for the things that life throws at you, and don't shy away from it. Embrace it and know that you can work around it. I mean, what's the quote, right? Life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. Same with finances. Embrace that. There's some truth to it, and you should be okay. The second thing I would talk about here is we're going into something else that you can prepare for that a lot of people don't. And when times of inflation happen, it really, really shines out as there's a big problem, is have 3 to 6 months of emergency funds available. What's that mean? That means take your bills to include groceries, food, entertainment, if you will, gas, electric, house, all of that, and take that times either 3 or times 4, what you pay a month. So if you're single and you got a job, that's about 3 months you want to have, right? And so if your total bills are around $4,000, then you want to have $4,000 times 3, $12,000, and you want to have that in a savings account or maybe a money market account, right? You want to have it in no risk or very little risk as possible, and that you can dive into that in case the radiator breaks down or the air conditioner breaks, and you can go grab from it, and you're not having to go put things on a credit card. If you're married, and then 3 months is fine too as well. 6 months, maybe if you don't make enough, and it depends on how you go, it's really up to you, but you either want to have 3 to 6 months, depending on your lifestyle, of emergency cash saved up, right? That's a big thing. What happens when you don't have that, right? Usually the first thing you do is you go try and get a credit card. And there'll be these zero debt credit cards out, or 0% APR intro rate. You'll run and grab that. But then guess what happens? Maybe the emergency happened longer than you thought. Maybe you couldn't put it back in place. And then you fall outside of that 0% interest rate. And then all of a sudden that 0% interest rate jumped to 26%. Wow. And it backdates to when you first started that money. So think about that. You took out $3,000 on a credit card, thought you were going to pay nothing on it, and you didn't pay it back in time in like 6 months. And now all of a sudden, instead of $3,000 you owe, now you owe like $5,000. And it just keeps going, right? So emergency cash would help prevent that. Another thing people do is they stop contributing to their 401k when emergency happens, right? And again, you're really robbing from your future self that way. And now you're being taxed on that money. So let's say you were putting $500 away, or let's just say $100. Let's say you're putting $100 away in a 401k and it hasn't been taxed yet, right? And then you say, you know what, let me stop doing that $100. Let me just take that as income now. Well, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to get that full $100 because now they're going to tax it. And if you're at the 22% tax bracket, now you're really only going to get about $80 and then some other stuff. So you really, for those who pay attention to your paychecks, that $100 is now going to turn into more like $70. And then you're like, oh, is that $70 enough for your emergency? Right? And so then maybe you stop taking out more. So you're really robbing yourself in the 401k if you borrow from that. It's just a huge no-no in my opinion. I would do everything I could to not take or not stop, not only not take from it, but not stop contributing to it. And then here's my favorite and as an example. People refinancing their house. It seems to be very popular in Dallas. People refinancing their house to get the equity out of the house. And what's that mean? So let's say I bought this house and, I don't know, it's $100,000, cheap house. And I put $50,000 down and I'm paying a $50,000 note. Well, so now I have equity in it. I have about $50,000 equity. And if I want, I can refinance it and say, hey, you know what? Give me that $50,000 out and then just give me another loan. And I see people do this all the time. They build up their cash equity and then they refinance their house. And so in essence, what they're doing is they're living in a very expensive rental, right? Because you don't own that house. The bank owns it. And then what happens if you lose your job, right? Now you can't make your house note. Well, you don't have any equity to fall back on, right? Because you've already cashed that out and went and spent it on a pool or a vacation or a new car, right? It's ridiculous, but just don't do that, right? Two things you don't touch. You don't touch your 401k, and you don't touch the equity in your home. Touching the equity in your home is for stuff like, hey, I've got stage 3 cancer, and I got nowhere else to pay for this. Hey, we lost a loved one prematurely. We didn't have life insurance. I've got to put food on the table. Refinancing the house is not to go on vacation. It's not to go get another car. It's just not for that type of stuff, right? It is a last means resort. So I would definitely not do that. And having emergency cash would help you from that. I'll give you an example of one thing that and don't feel entitled, by the way. That's what I'm saying. Don't feel entitled. Don't run into that. Well, we deserve a vacation. You know, we worked really hard this year. We need to go to Disney World. Listen, it's very hard for me to tell my daughters, we're not going to Disney World. And I did that for a couple years, right? Starting my own business up, I had to tell them, you're just not going to Disney World. We're going to go to Disney World Lite, i.e. Six Flags Dallas. You know, we're not going the full 9 yards. You got to wait till we have it. So don't let that entitlement kill you. One popular thing to do as far as saving money, too, for things that, you know, Dave Ramsey followers out there is have envelopes and stick different money in envelopes for different things, like your car note money, your house note money. But more importantly, the stuff that is fun to do, like going out to eat at a restaurant or going to the movies, and have that in an envelope. And whatever that is, if it's $100, $200 a month, and take it as cash, not from your credit card, because there's something psychological about physically taking cash and handing it to someone. You feel that loss. Versus on these commercials with the credit cards where you're just tapping something and it's fun. Oh, let me get this. And you see two friends. Oh, I'm going to pay for this. I mean, I don't know about you, but I don't like paying for my friend's latte over and over again, right? I'll buy one now and again. And he could buy me, but I'm not just making it rain on all my friends and it's not fun to do. So if I had to take that $20 and hand it for my buddy, I guarantee you, I'd think twice about, like, haven't I bought you the last three? Like, isn't it your turn? So maybe having cash envelopes for something fun, it's not sexy, right? It's not cool. I get it. But what do you want to be? You want to be sexy, cool, and broke? Or maybe be uncool and have some money to you and go do what you want to do? So that's one thing you can do. I had a friend that meager lifestyle, had a job, and he wound up $90,000 in debt. And I remember I was at his apartment. He's doing crazy stuff, like recarpeting his apartment. Who does that? Like, you don't own the apartment. Why are you recarpeting the apartment? And he said, well, I don't want my children to roll around on used carpet. Okay, all right. Then you should have gone and bought a house. Buying things like cars, eating out. I remember when he told me he was $9,000 in debt, I started looking under the couch, looking under the table. He's like, what are you looking for? I'm like, I'm looking for the gold brick. Where is it? I don't see it. Like, where did the $90,000 go? We spent it going out to eat and stuff. And so he wound up claiming bankruptcy, right? And here's the irony. Even after he claimed bankruptcy, he got more credit card offers, because, hey, what do the companies know? Well, they know he likes to use credit. So here we go. Now that you're out of bankruptcy, you know, now that you've done that and got out of debt a little bit, here's some more ways to get back into debt. So you just gotta fall out of that mentality of, hey, I deserve this. I need to live above my. You gotta get out of that $30,000 Dallas millionaire mentality. You know, otherwise, in times of inflation like this, it's really gonna come back to bite you. Funny thing is, my buddy, the same guy, worked as a credit card collections, right, for people like him who didn't pay his bills. And I'm like, well, how does that work? Did they come to your desk to get you to pay up? And he's like, nah, I just know all the stuff to say off the phone. And even funnier, now he works for IRS collections. So I guess they go with what you know, right? So he wound up being okay, but I'm just saying you don't want to do that, right? You don't want to have to be in that position to have to file bankruptcy. It's not as cool as it sounds. It's not as blasé or not that big a deal. It is a big deal, and you want to stay away from that. So anyway, I hope you've learned a few things about inflation today, right? Things are always going to cost more. Hope you learned a little bit about saving. You always want to have money kind of saved up, an emergency cash fund of 3 to 6 months. That's the best way to kind of shelter these types of storms. And then finally, you want to think about retirement in that same regard. You want to be prepared for the things life is going to throw at you along the way, and so that you're prepared to continue to save for your future self, your future retirement, and not take away from yourself. Because all that's going to happen if you should do that, right, it's just simple math. You're either going to just have to either work longer, right, or you're going to have to spend less, or you're going to have to make more. And the problem with the last one is people follow that last one. I'm going to just make more money. That's easier said than done. Especially, it's really easy to say when you're 28, 29, 35, maybe even 40, I'll just out-earn my problems. I'll just keep earning more money. But think about yourself when you're 72, 82, 92. Who is going to hire a 92-year-old worker, right? It just doesn't happen. So please don't fall back on that mentality. But I give you a few things for thought. I hope it helped. Can't wait to see you guys next time. You know, please join me next time. Next time is a good topic. We're going to talk about long life, short retirement. Can't wait to see you guys till next time.